We're holding on Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, seventh line. We started learning yesterday about the dinim of Yichud, so now continuing on that topic. One thing we learned yesterday is that, in principle, two men would be allowed to be alone in Yichud with one woman. So now the Gemara is going to qualify that point. Rav Rav Yehuda Habu Ka'azli Ba'ucha, one time Rav and Rav Yehuda were walking together on the road, Ba'avu Ka'azla Ahi Itza Kamaihu, and a woman was walking in front of them. Now the Gemara does mention in some places that a man is not allowed to walk behind a woman in the street. So here, Rav Mefoshim explained that it has to be they were more than four amos away from her, but nevertheless, there's still the question of hear her, and to a certain extent of yichud. Maybe it was like a deserted road, and there was nobody else. Anyway, Omalei Rav Lerav Yehuda, so Rav says to Rav Yehuda, Dal karech mikame gehenim, pick up your feet in the face of gehenim. In other words, let's hurry up and get ahead of her, so we're not walking behind her, and we don't have the problem of yichud with her. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda says, "V'homahu da'omah b'kshedim shapri dami." Didn't you, Rav yourself, you Rebbe, say that when it comes to two kshedim, it's allowed? As we learned yesterday, we said at the bottom of the previous amud that the kshedim it's allowed with two men and pirtzim not. So we're kshedim. What's the problem? Omalei, so Rav says, "Mi yemid kshedim kagoyin anova at." Do you think that kshedim means people like me and you? Okay, we're not prutzim, but we're not necessarily kshedim either. Ela kagoyin mai, what would be an example of two men who would be allowed with one to be in yichud with one woman? Kagoyin Rav Chanina bar Papi v'chaverav, for example, Rav Chanina bar Papi and Rav Tzadik and Rav Kahana, where we learned back on Daf Lamed Tes Mem. Stories at the end of the first parak, stories involving them, where Goyish women propositioned them to be mezana with them, and each one of them did something to get away from it. Rav Chanina bar Papa, we had the story over there that first he used a spell, he used a shame Hashem, or something to fill himself up with sores, and then when that didn't help, then he ran away into a Beis HaKisei, which was frequented by Shadim, and he was still saved from it. Rav Kahana jumped into an oven. Rav Tzadik jumped off a roof. So, or the other way around, Rav Tzadik into an oven, Rav Kahana into off a roof. Whatever, those kinds of people who have Mesiras Nefesh to avoid Arayas, that's the kind of people we're talking about Shadim. Not necessarily you and me, where we've never had such a Nisoyan in it. And there is Lahalocha. And the Rishonim discuss, in fact, when the Rambam brings this halacha, he doesn't even mention the difference between kshedim and prutzim, so evidently he understands, in other words, that Rav is saying, on a factual level, that most people cannot be considered kshedim for this purpose, only if you have the exceptional person, like Rav Chinen Abba Papa and the others like him. On the other hand, other Rishonim say that there would be a difference, So, Lamaisen, Shulchan Aruch, it says that we can't consider most people to be kshedim, and therefore even two men with one woman is a problem, unless you have the considerations that we're going to mention soon about Baila Ba'ir and such things. Okay. More about the consequences for Yichud. Omer Rav, Malkin ala Yichud, vein Osrin ala Yichud. Rav says, we give a person malchus if they were over on Yichud, but we don't aser a woman based on Yichud. Now, Rashi says, when we mean malchin ala Yichud, Rashi says makas maudus, which implies that we're talking about a pnuya. We're not talking about an eshes ish. We discussed yesterday the possibility that maybe that the issue of Yichud with an eshes ish or other arayas is actually midaraisa. So in that case, if we were talking about that over here, it wouldn't just be makas maudus, it would be actually malchus daraisa. The fact that Rashi says makas maudus implies that he's talking about a pnuya, where everybody agrees that that's only derabanan after the story of Amnon and Tamar. However, when it comes to an eshes ish, if she was in Yichud with somebody, we don't ask her to her husband. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't like that, because then why in the middle of it you're switching from a pnuya to an eshes ish? So no, Tosfos says both of them are talking about a pnuya. When we say ve'ein oistri and ala yichud, we mean we're not going to say that she's also to marry a kohen because she might be a zoin. Now, if we know that she had relations with somebody, and the question is whether it's a kohen, then not necessarily do we accept that that's her word, that it was a koyin or somebody miyuchas that's good enough in the future for her to marry a koyin, but uh, But the fact is over there that there we know that there was Be'ila. Here we don't even know that. She's saying that she's not. So therefore we don't ask her to marry a Kohen because of you. So that's how Tosfos learns that both Malkin and Oisrin refer to a Pnuya. Omer Avashi loyamoran elab Pnuya. So now Avashi says this that we're talking about is only elab Yichud Pnuya. It's only when it's Yichud with an unmarried girl. So according to Rashi, the first half of Rav's statement is referring to a Pnuya. According to Tosfos, both parts are. But says Ravashi, when it comes to Yichud, if a man is in Yichud with a married woman, then we don't give Malkus for it. We certainly don't give her Malkus at any rate. Because you don't want to be Motzi Laz and her children. People are going to think that she was actually Mizana with him, and therefore in the future, any of her children now, or any children she might have in the future, people are going to think are Mamzerim. So therefore, when it comes to an Eishes Ish, even though it is true, it is an Issur Daraisa, or, so we talked about yesterday, whether it is an Issur Daraisa to be in Yichud with an Eishes Ish, but regardless, either way, Rav Ashi is saying the problem of giving Malkus in that case is it's going to be caused to be Motzi Laz on her children, and you don't want to do that. Now, on the other hand, continues the Gemara, Marzutra Malki Umachriz. Marzutra would give Malkus, but he would also announce afterwards that it was because of Yichud and not because of Znus. So Rashi explains that that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an Eishes Ish. So here, Rav Ashi is saying, with an Eishes Ish, you can't give Malkus because of the problem of Motzi Laz, so Rav Marzutra would get around that by making an announcement after the Malkus that it was because of Yichud, not because of Znus, and that way there won't be Motzi Laz. That's how Rashi learns. Hagoyes Hagura mentions over here that the Rambam understands it to be referring to a Pnuya, so therefore, so same idea. In other words, he would give Malkus and he would announce why the Malkus was being given because of Yichud. So Rav Nachman Mipahatia says to Rav Ashi, in that case, given that we have Mazutra's precedent, Maunami Loki Velachus. So why don't you do the same thing? You just said that when it comes to an Eishes Ish, you don't give Malkus, because people may then be Motzi Laz and think that her children are Mamzerim. Well, do like Mazutra did, make an announcement afterwards that it was because of Yichud. Amalei, so Rav Ashi says that doesn't really work. Ikad shama baha, v'lo shama baha. You might conceivably have somebody who heard about one thing but did not hear about the other, meaning exactly that. You might have somebody heard that this person or these two people were given Malkus, and they don't end up hearing about the announcement, and then they're going to mistakenly think that there was Znus over here, and they're going to think that the woman's children are Mamzeim, whatever. So therefore, that doesn't really work, says Ravashi, to make an announcement like that, because it may not work necessarily. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav, Malkin Aloy Tova Hashmua. Here's another case where you can give Malkus is where there's a bad rumor going around about somebody. In other words, you have there's rumors going around about somebody. As far as this thing with Mazutra and all, so we just said that Rashi learns that it's about an Eishes Ish, but we said Rambam learns that it's about a Pnuya. So the vote would be the same idea, in other words, that Marzutra is saying we do give Malkus, but we also announce so that people don't think afterwards that she was a Zona, similar to what Tosfos is saying, and then, or maybe to embarrass her, and Rav Ashi is saying the fact is that may not work. People may hear of the Malkus and think that she's a Zona because they're not going to pay any attention to the announcement. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues. Amarav Malkin Aloy Tova Hashmua. We also give Malkus when there's bad rumors going around about somebody that he's over Averis. So now, we're not stopping talking about a random rumor. We're talking about where the Gemara mentions in other places, at the end of Gittin, for example, the Gemara had discussed what the definition of a koil is as far as these kinds of things. It's a koil of like posik. It's something that keeps on being spread over and over again. Or there's a raglayim ladover. Those kinds of things. then you can give Malkus for that, even though there's no solid evidence that he did the Avera, because just the fact that a person has such rumors going around about him is itself considered an issue. He should be taking steps to avoid being in situations where people are going to be able to spread such rumors about him. Now, the Gemara does mention elsewhere that if a person, for example, has enemies in town who are spreading false rumors about him, then it doesn't necessarily apply. So we're talking about when you have the various criteria that the Gemara mentions in other places, when there's when you have whatever it takes exactly, api halacha, for it to be considered a koil, when you have such a koil, then that's reason enough to give a person, malchus. Shenemar, as we find by Eliam's sons, where we know his sons were acting improperly, they're disrespecting the Kodshim, they're doing something involving the women over there, and that come to the Mishkan, say in the Gemara and Shabbos, Kol Omer B'nei Eli Chota, Eina El Toya, that anybody who says that they actually sinned, that they actually committed Znus, is making a mistake, where they delayed bringing the Korbanos to these women, and that caused that interfered with their marriages. Eishiyah, the point is that, after the pasuk describes what they were doing, then it says that Eli called them in and he's telling them off for it. So he says, Al bonai ki lo tov ashmua. No, my sons, meaning don't act this way because there's not good rumors about you. So the word al constitutes a loises, so therefore, in effect, he's telling them, and we learn from that pasuk, that for a person to have, to allow that there should be rumors going around about him like that, is considered a lav, and therefore there can be malchus. Therefore, there can be malchus for him. So the Gemara says, "Mazutra moisiv la'afsera al kasve." Mazutra would put a bridle, like of an animal, like a bridle that you use to control the reins that you put on a horse or some other kind of animal. He would put that on the person's shoulder, umakli le al bonai, and he would read off the pesukim al bonai. So in other words, Rashi says, just like we said before, Mazutra would make announcements about his malchus. He wanted the person himself to understand what he's getting malchus for. The guy is likely to think, what do you mean? I didn't do anything wrong. So Mazutra, when he was giving the person malchus, he would also put this harness of an animal on the guy's shoulders in order to further embarrass him and in order to show him to a certain extent that he's acting like a behemoth. And he would read the pasuk al bonai in order to stress to him, you should know this is why you're getting malchus, because you're acting in a way that's allowing such rumors to spread about you. There are various other explanations among the Mephoshim, what he was doing with this harness exactly. Is it maybe that in such cases he wouldn't actually give malchus, he would just put the harness on the person's shoulders in order to embarrass him and tell him this pasuk al bonai, but not necessarily giving malchus? There are various explanations. Okay, getting back now to matters of Yichud, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Baila Ba'ir Ein Choshin Mishum Yichud. If the woman's husband is in town, then we're not concerned about Yichud, because then she knows that he could come in. So now, Rashi says actually it means only as far as Malkus, meaning this that we were saying that there was Malkus for Yichud would not apply, Rashi says, if her husband is in town. Now, the implication of that is that it would still be osur. Tosfos says that no, that's not what it means, based on the continuation of the Gemara. Rather, Tosfos says it means there's no isur at all when her husband is in town. Now, Lamaisa, so you do have this heter, but you do have some considerations about it. It's true that, first of all, the Gemara is going to go on to say that if the man and the woman know each other very well, then even Baila Ba'ir may not help. But you have other considerations also. For example, Poskim Achronim talk about nowadays in large cities, you could have, for example, the husband's in the city, but he's at the other end of the city. Imagine Rav Moshe writes in one of his Truvas, for example. Imagine, for example, you know, you live in Brooklyn and the husband is up in the Bronx and it's going to take him an hour to get home. Are you going to say that's Baila Ba'ir? Not necessarily. On the other hand, for example, the Chazon Ish talks about, he says that it's more of a natural thing that a woman is afraid that her husband might walk in on her any moment, so even if she knows that he's actually an hour away, nevertheless, she still has a certain degree of Ema, and therefore would be afraid to do anything wrong, so it's not so simple, this matter of Baila Ba'ir. But then in principle, that heter applies. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Pesach pasuach l'Rishos HaRabim, ein choshin mishum yichud. Also, if there's a door open to Rishos HaRabim, and therefore anybody can walk in, then also there's no concern of yichud. Now here, even Rashi doesn't mention about Malkus or not, implying that even Rashi would agree that such a thing is completely mutter. Because then obviously anybody can walk in at any moment, and therefore there's no problem. Here also, now you have a big machlokas rishonim. When we say pasuach, do we mean that the door has to actually be open, as in that anybody can see in, or is it enough that the door is not locked, where anybody could just turn the handle and come in? There you have a machlokas about that, whether what the definition of Pesach Pasuach is. And then also, again, there are details within that. For example, that would only work during the day or maybe the beginning of the night. It's not going to work like, in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep. Pesach Pasuach is not really going to help because realistically nobody's going to come in at that time. And again, the post can discuss various scenarios where even though there's a Pesach Pasuach, not necessarily are people going to be expected to come in. So therefore, so this heter of Pesach Pasuach exists. But it's also not an absolute. It's also not an absolute thing. So the Gemara tells Rabbi Ikla Lebei Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi one time visited Rabbi Yosef's house. Bosad Korich Rifta after they ate together. Korich Rifta literally means wrapped bread, because in the times of the Gemara, the common way to eat was that you would take your bread, which was more like a pita or a wrap or something like that, you would wrap it around the food and eat it that way. So Korach Rifta is the Gemara's usual terminology for having a meal together. Anyway, after they did, so now Rabbi was going to be upstairs. He was going to be staying upstairs. So Omalahu Shkuli Dauga Mitauti Mituti Bivi. So Rabbi Yosef tells the members of his household, take the ladder away from under Bivi. Meaning, Rabbi again is going to be staying on the second floor. The way to get from there to the ground floor would be by way of a ladder. So now he's telling the people of the household, take away the ladder so that Rabbi is not able to come downstairs and be in Yichud with Rabbi Yosef's wife. So the Gemara says, why? Didn't we just say that if the husband is in town, then there's no problem with Yichud, and here Rabbi Yosef is not only in town, but at home? And the answer is, shiny Rabbi, it's different with Rabbi, because Rabbi Yosef's wife was his good friend. Rashi uses it shushvinte. Now, a shushvin in Gemara terminology usually means somebody who helps you with your wedding. You have in Bava Basra, the Gemara talks about a whole concept of shushvinus, where there'd be a concept, for example, that you'd have a circle of friends where all of them help contribute to each one's wedding, and all of them attend the wedding, and they do this in a round robin fashion. They're all called shushvinin. Nowadays, we use shushvinin to mean the unterfitters. The point is that a shushvin is a very good friend. So this Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef's wife were very good friends. Rashi uses the expression balas bris loy, that like we had in last week's parasha, the name bale bris Avram, that she had not literally a bris, but in other words, that she had a very close friendship with him. It could be that they grew up together. It could be any number of possibilities. Whatever the case, the point is that they knew each other very well. And therefore, she's very familiar with him, and therefore, even if Baila Ba'ir, that may not help, and then still there'd be a problem of you. So that's why Rabbi Yosef said to take away the ladder. In fact, Mephoshim point out, when you think about this, Rabbi Yosef, it says, was blind, and still we're seeing that if it weren't for this problem, that Rabbi Bibi and Rabbi Yosef's wife are such good friends, then it would have been mutter for there to be yichud. Rabbi Yosef is blind. Nevertheless, Baila Ba'ir still is effective even if the husband is blind. On the other hand, other Mephoshim counter and say that's not really a proof because maybe the story happened before Rabbi Yosef became blind. We don't know when in his life that happened. Moving on with more dinim. Amar Rav Kahana, and noshim mibachutz v'noshim mibifnim. Suppose you have a place where there's two rooms, one further in than the other, and you have the arrangement as such, where the only way to get in and out of the inner room is to go through the outer room. So you have the inner room, in other words, has only one door through which you can go to the outer room, and then you have the outer room that goes out to the street. So Rav Kahana says, "Anoshim b'chutz v'noshim mibachutz v'noshim mibifnim." If the men are in the outer room, closer to the street, and the women are in the inner room, where the only way the women are going to get out, are going to get in and out, is by going through the room with the men. Ein choshishin mishum yichud. Then says Rav Kahana, there's no problem of yichud, because what's going to happen? The people in the outer room have no business going in, because why would they be going inside? That's further away than where they need to go in and out. So therefore, there's not going to end up being yichud. As far as the women going through the men, as far as the women going through the men, there's no problem, because after all, you have many men over there. Unless the men are prutzim, like we learned yesterday, where even 10 would be a problem, then one woman is allowed to be in that room with the many men, and there's no problem of yichud. But Rav Kahana continues, anoshim b'fnim v'noshim b'chutz. But if it's the other way around, the men in the inner room, the women in the outer room, choshim l'shom yichud, then there would be a problem of yichud, because what if one man wants to go out from the inner room, and he has to go out through the outer room that's full of the women, and he's going to end up being in yichud with them. Even though it's one against many. We talked about yesterday whether a man is able to be in yichud with three or more women. Now, later on Daf Pei Beis, the last daf of our Masechta, we're going to mention, you have a case of a man that asok of imanoshim, that he does the kind of business that regularly puts him in contact with women. For example, he sells cosmetics or other such things. So then Rashi learns over there that he's not even allowed to be with many women. So usually he'd be allowed with two women, but he wouldn't be allowed with two women, we said in the Mishnah, but three or four would be fine. But there Rashi learns that we'd be talking about many women. So in that case, our Gemara over here with Rav Kahana would be referring to that kind of case. Tosfos says actually that to begin with, lo yisyachad imanoshim is not specifically somebody who does business with women. It means in all cases, then it means he's not allowed. It means that nobody is allowed to be even with multiple women. In the case of a peddler, where the Gemara talks about over there, is even if ishto ima, and you said in our Mishnah that ishto ima is fine because his wife will prevent him from doing anything, but not with a roifel, not with somebody who does business with women. So it comes out, according to Rashi, that some kinds of men are not allowed to be in yichud with multiple women, and according to Tosfos, no man is. So according to Tosfos, our case over here, we'd be talking about any man, and according to Rashi, we'd have to be talking about that these are men that are stuck of imanoshim. Anyway, so that's how Rav Kahana says it. On the other hand, the Masnisa Tona Ibcha, there's a Braisa that says the other way around. The Braisa takes the view, if the men are on the outside and the women are on the inside, what happens? One of the men might go inside into the inner room, and none of the other men are going to notice he's missing. So then he disappears into that back room over there, and who knows what's going on over there. As opposed to, the Braisa is saying that when the women are in the outer room, then there's not a problem. Even if she does go into the inner room, fine. You still have many men over there, and if one of them goes out, then it's not considered yichud, because he figures somebody else may follow him, because other people are going to want to go in and out as well, and therefore it's like Pesach Pasua. So the Braisa takes the view the other way around, that if the men are on the outside and the women are on the inside, there is a problem of yichud and not the other way around. Now, by the way, there is within this also, the question is, are we talking about to begin with, you can't have such an arrangement, you can't have, according to Rav Kahana, you're not allowed to have an arrangement to begin with where men are on the inner room and women are on the outer room, and according to the Braisa, the other way around, according to the Rambam, it's not really the problem, that arrangement in the first place. The question is, what happens if one of the men goes in or one of the women goes in to the other room? Do you have a problem with yichud? Anyway, however, so now, so Amar Abaye, Ashi, Amar Kahana Hochi, the Tonimas Nisi Ibcha, considering now that Rav Kahana says it one way and the Braisa says it the other way around, Anan Navid Vachumra, necessarily, Anan Navid Vachumra, then we had better be Machmir in both directions, and therefore we had better say that either way, that either way we're going to say that it's, that either way we're going to say it's also whether you have, whether you have, now, the Shulchan Aruch brings more according to the Rambam's explanation. It's not a problem to have such an arrangement in the first place. What the problem would be, if you have that one man, that one woman goes among the men, or one man among the women, then you have a problem of Yichud. The Rambam is learning, in other words, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, it's not a problem in and of itself to begin with to have such an arrangement where you're going to have men in one room and women in another, even where, and the rooms are adjacent. The problem is, if there starts being mixing, if one of them goes into the other room, then either way, Abaye is saying you have a problem with Yichud. Because Rav Kahana would say it one way and the Braisa says it the other.
Even if doors open in there, and so someone can walk in any minute.
Even if somebody can walk in any minute and all that, yeah, you still have it.
But when they were walking outside, why was there this problem when the two tzaddikim were
the different? You're talking about the beginning of the Amud, because the fact that the Gemara didn't say, but the Gemara didn't say, but apparently it was like a deserted road. There was nobody else around, so therefore there's potentially a problem.
Someone could pass it.
Somebody could potentially pass by, but apparently it was the kind of road where not many people are going by. You know, back in the early Nuns, that Eber was talking about the point that sometimes you can have an issue of Yichud with taxi drivers, that Eber was starting to stress the point then that women, if they have to take a taxi, should make sure to get a female taxi driver, and the same thing with men, because not always. Sometimes you have a deserted side street, and then you have issues of Yichud. So yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. So you have a problem, for example, so sometimes you have a problem. You have large gatherings of men and women, and how do you separate them to make sure that there's no mixing between them? Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, you have people getting together for a drosha or for a chuppah. So what do? To prevent people from mixing? So the Gemara says, Abaye doyer gufi. Abaye would set up rows of barrels between them. And the idea is, if somebody tries to sneak through, then the barrels will, they'll brush against the barrels, and they'll knock one against the other, and there'll be a sound heard, and therefore, so it'll embarrass them, and that way people will avoid it in the first place. Rava doyer kona, Rava similarly would put up rows of reeds. The same idea, when you step on them, then it's gonna make a noticeable sound. So that,
walls
of
weeds.
No, Bapashtos, not weeds, but reeds. Bapashtos, Rashi uses the expression that it means, however, alehen, kolam nishma, somebody who passes alehen, then the sound is heard. It could mean a vertical wall, and it would mean as people go through them, it would make a rustling sound. It could also mean they would spread them on the ground between the area, between the men and the women, and if a person walks on them, then it'll make a noticeable sound. Right. Whatever the case, the point is it was another way of making sure that people don't cross the line. So in this connection, Omar Ovin, so Ovin says, on the side over here, it says maybe it should be Abaya, Sakva de Shata Rigla, the sore time of the year, as far as these things, is the Yomim Tovim. Sakva, Rashi explains, means basically like a sore, like you have a sore on the back of a camel or a junkie or whatever, the sore time of the year when it's most likely to have to create problems with Yichud and then Znus and whatever, is Yomim Tovim, because everybody's gathering together to listen to the Droshas, and therefore they end up talking with one another. So therefore, in other words, so that time of year is the most important to make sure that that men and women stay separate. In fact, the Rambam writes as a matter of halacha that Beis Din is obligated to set up patrols in places where people are gathering together, streets, parks, and things like that, to make sure that nothing is going on. Tosfos mentions over here that this is one reason why we have the concept of the fast of Bahab. After Pesach and after Sukkot, nowadays not many people keep them, but those who do keep them, and you can find them listed in the calendars and whatever, is partly based on this idea, because during those Yom Tovim, Pesach and Sukkot, there was much more of a chance for there to be Averis of various kinds, and therefore you have the fast of Bahab for people to do Tshuva. They talk about, the posts can talk about, so why not after Shavuos, and the reason is Shavuos, at least in Eretz Yisrael, is only one day. In Fort Florida, it's two, but there's not much opportunity during then to be doing Averis.
People are irregular.
People are the regular, but still, the fact is it's only one day, so there's not much opportunity, as opposed to Pesach and Sukkot. Each lasts a week, so there's more of a chance of it. The Gemara continues. So now the Gemara is going to tell us several stories of Chachamim and what they went through as far as the Yetzirah as far as the Taiva for women. And the point of these stories is to tell us that even great tzaddikim have such taivas, and they take steps to avoid it. So the first story is like this. It once happened that a bunch of Jewish women who had been captured by Goyim were brought to Nahada. So the Jews had done pidyon shvuyim, and they brought them to Nahada. They brought them into the house of Rab Amram Chasida. Rashi says he's the one who had arranged the pidyon shvuyim in the first place. So now they brought them to his house to stay there until they could get to their respective houses. So they put them up on the second floor, Ashkulu Daga Mitkamayu, and they took away the ladder because, like we said before, in those times they didn't always have permanent stairs between one level and another, just like we have in the story of Rabibi and Rabbi Yosef. So they took away the ladder for the same reason, so there shouldn't be a problem of yichud between them and the members of the household. However, Bahadi the Kacholfa Chodaminayu, as one of them was passing by, so you have this hole in the ceiling that you can see up into the attic through it. So as one of them was walking by the hole, she was so beautiful, not on the Hoda B'ipuma, there was a light shining in from through the hole. Because in other words, her face glowed with such beauty. Betty Oyota says it may not have been a Derech HaTeva thing. It may have been actually the Sutton getting involved over here in order to Davka to be Machshor Rav Amram. Anyway, Rav Amram had such a taiva for her, Rav Amram then took that ladder, and that ladder was so heavy, to like have a yochlin be'asar on the midliya, 10 people normally couldn't pick up that ladder, the dawya l'chodeh, and he picked it up alone. In other words, his yetzahara was giving him enormous superhuman strength. Solik v'ozol, and he puts the ladder in place, and starts climbing up it. When he reached halfway up the ladder, then he caught himself. You know, what am I doing over here? Ifshach, he spread his legs apart like to brace himself. I'm not going any further. Romakola, and he started yelling out, Nura Bey Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house. So everybody comes running to help put out the fire. Osir Abonon, the Chachamim came and saw what happened, and they saw there's no fire, and they see what's going on, and he's halfway up the ladder. Omrulay Tasefitinon, they said, you embarrassed us. Now everybody's going to think that Tamar the Chachamim are no better than anybody else when it comes to these things. Omrulahu, he says to them, Mutuk Tichsipu Be Amram Ba'al Mahadein, better you should be embarrassed in Amram's house in this world, rather than be embarrassed of him, where, in other words, if I had gone through with this, then I'd be tremendously embarrassed, and all you chachamim who associated with me or learned from me would also be embarrassed. So I'd rather this. I did this. I raised the alarm so all of you will come running, and that way I saved myself from an avera.
I was scared someone's going to fall down. That's what was happening.
So now Rav Amram realized how even a tzaddik like him, and we called him before Rav Amram Chassidah, so he was a chassid, which is beyond even being a tzaddik. So when he saw how bad things can get with the Yetzirah, he beswore his Yetzirah to leave. He says at this point, Yetzihara, I don't want you around anymore, basically. You're making too much trouble, in other words, basically, yeah. So Marshall explains, in other words, not like this, but say this, what this means is, in other words, that up until now, Rav Amram was using his own koichas to overcome the Yetzihara. Now he's calling on, like, extra koichas milamayla in order to be able to defeat the Yetzihara once and for all. Just like we find Mashabiya Noise, we find by a baby, for example, Mashabiya Noise, Ti Tzadik Bal Ti Rosha, and it talks about Chassidus, the idea that Mashabiya is also Masabiyan, that he's also a Mezetimon, yeah, we fill him up with power. So the same way, when he's beswearing his Yetzihara over here, means he's taking that extra step to prevent the Yetzihara from getting him in the future. And sure enough, Nofik Mineki Amudin Nura, the Yetzihara came out of him looking like a pillar of fire. That was when Amram said before the fire in Amram's house, he was being truthful. There was a fire, the fire was the Yetzihara. Omar, so he says to the Yetzihara, Omalei, so he says to that Yetzihara, Chazi, take a look. Da'at Nura Ba'ano Bisra, you're fire, I'm only flesh. Ba'ano Adifna Minach, and yet I'm greater than you, that I was able to overcome you. So this is also meant as a lesson for everybody to learn. Don't think your Yetzirah is like a consuming fire and there's nothing you can do against it. There's always a strategy to get over it. Maoshev refers, by the way, to a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions that the Yetzirah for Znus in particular is compared to fire. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, for example, that Achav was a very frigid person and Izevel wanted to heat him up. So therefore, the same way in our Gemara, then this Yetzirah is being compared to fire.
That was a comic, I mean?
What? Izevel was Achav's wife.
He was probably convinced.
He was frigid. He didn't have much of a taiva for Znus, and she tried to arouse that taiva by him. Anyway, another story the Gemara tells, Reb Meir have mitzloitzitz over Avera. Reb Meir used to make fun of people who do Avera. Avera in this context means nus. So in other words, Reb Meir would say, weak people. If they really wanted it, it's not that hard to control that Yetzihara. So now, the Eibishter wanted to show him that it's not so simple. It is something a person is expected to conquer, but nevertheless, you can't laugh at people who don't. So Yom Echad Idme Lei Satan Ke'itza. One day the Satan, and we know who Satan, who Yetzihara, appeared to him in the form of a woman. Vahach Yisidanara, on the other side of a river. Now, Loi Haba Mabra, there was no Mabra to cross the river. Mabra could mean a bridge or it could mean a ferry. So the normal way of getting across the river was back then would be there was either a bridge or there was a ferry. Even nowadays, actually. So there was none of that. Not at Metzra Ka'avar. So what there was across the river, there was a Metzra, which is a rope stretched from one end of the river to the other with like a little plank of wood next to it, like field workers or whatever. They don't have time to wait for the ferry and there's not necessarily a bridge close enough. They would use a makeshift bridge like that to get from one side to the other. So the mayor, was grabbing a hold of this Metzra in order to cross. We had similarly at the end of Ksubas, we had in the positive way where Abzera is about to cross over into Eretz Yisrael, and he used a Metzra like that to cross that last river that he needed to cross because he was so eager to get to Eretz Yisrael. So here, on the other hand, the mayor was so eager to get to this woman and do who knows what with her that therefore there's no Mabra. He's still going to take the trouble to use this Metzra. When he reached halfway across the river, Shavke, then the Yetzirah left him alone, and so he lost that type. Omar, and the Sultan tells him, you should know, not for the fact that they announce in Shemayim, be careful with Rameo and his Torah, in other words, show him great respect because of the Torah he learns. If it weren't for that, Shavisi Ladamach Tauti Moi, I would have made that your blood would be worth only 2 ma. So it could mean, in other words, he would say that I would have killed you and your blood would be worthless. It could mean that he would say that Sutton is saying that I would have still held you in my grip and caused that you would have done this Aveda, and then you would be like a nothing, like you would be like a nobody from now on. Whatever the case, the point is only the source of your Torah saved you, but in the future don't make fun of over Aveda because you yourself realize now how powerful such a taiva can be when a person is gripped by it. Why a river over here? Ben Yoyada talks about that water represents Torah, and therefore the fact that there was a river between them represents that Reb Meir's Torah is going to be what saves him, what ultimately saves him from the actual Aveda. Similarly, the Gemara says, Reb Akiva ham on the slices by Reb Aveda. Similarly, Reb Akiva used to make, who was Reb Meir's Rebbe. Ben Yehoyada points out, now the Gemara lists these stories out of order. Evidently, the story with Reb Meir happened before the one with Reb Akiva. They both they're a Rebbe and a Talmud, but evidently the story with Reb Meir happened before this one we're going to tell with Reb Akiva. Otherwise, it would have put the story with Reb Akiva first.
Reb Meir was
Reb Akiva's Talmud. Similarly, Reb Akiva had a misloitzitz for over Avera. Reb Akiva used to make fun of people who commit znus. Same idea. Yoy Machad Ibn Le Sutton Ki Ifsa Bereish Dikla. One day the Sutton appeared to him like a woman at the top of a palm tree. And the symbolism is Ben Yoyada says palm tree represents a tzaddik katrama yifrach. So again, it's going to represent that his tzidkos eventually is going to see what's going to save him. But still, Reb Akiva thought it's an actual woman. Nakul the dikla of kasolik. He started grabbing a hold of the palm tree and climbing up. Keep in mind, a palm tree is not very easy to climb. It's a very tall tree. So still, Reb Akiva was in such a grip of a yetzirah that he was climbing up like that. He mutal a pauga When he reached halfway up the tree, then the Yetzirah left him alone. Omer, and he says the same thing. If it weren't for the fact that they announced in Shemayim, be careful around Rabbi Akiva and his Torah, I would have made your blood worth only 2 mois. Same idea. In other words, whether it means I would have killed you, whether it means I would have you would have ended up being over the Aveira, whatever the case. The point is, don't be misloits, it's over the Aveira in the future. Similarly, the Gemara tells a story. Now, this next story over here doesn't have to do with the Yetzirah for Znus, but it has to do more generally with the Yetzirah. Plimoi have a Rogel Lomema Kol Yoma. Plimoi, who was one of the early Amoraim, was a Talmud of Rebbe. He used to regularly say every day, Gira Be'ena de Sutton, an arrow in Sutton's eyes. In other words, every day he would say, this curse against Sutton that he should have an arrow in his eye. Marshall points out that we know the eye is one of the two big middlemen that cause a person to do Averis. The expression in the Gemara is Ein v'libet treis sarsuri dechata. A person sees with his eyes and thinks with his heart, and those are the two middlemen that broker and bring him to Averis. So therefore, so Plimo specifically is mentioning in connection with the Yetzirah with the Sutton, he's saying the eye. So he's saying, in other words, I'm fighting against the Yetzirah. Now, the point of this story and the point of the previous stories is also that, you know, you have the Gemara. We learned earlier in our Masechta that a person's Yetzirah tries to overpower him every day, and if it weren't for Hashem's help, he wouldn't be able to overcome him, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, in Perek Yud Gimel. What it means is that, like this, a person has a Yetzirah and a Yetzirah, a Nefesh HaLekis and a Nefesh HaBahamas, and the Yetzirah might well overpower the Nefesh HaLekis, might well overpower the Yetzirah, except that the Eibishter helps out and gives the Yetzer Tov extra strength to be able to overcome, because by giving the power of Moyach Shalat Alalev. So in our Gemara over here, we're making the same point. Each of these Chachamim, especially over here with the story of Plimoy, as we're going to see, he's not paying close enough attention to the fact that you need Siyata Dishmaya to overcome the Yetzer Hara. He thinks he can do it all with his own Koichas.
I'm saying Shirmaus and Shirshayam.
Shirshayam, what are you saying?
Shirmaus and Shirshayam.
One day and one time, Erev Yom Kippur, Idmi Leitanya, the Sutton came and disguised himself like a poor person, also Korah Bava, and he came, was calling at the door and asking for tzedakah. So they brought him out some bread. On my leg, the Sultan says to Plimo, Yoimaki Ha'idna, a day like today, such a hush of a day, Erev Yom Kippur, Kula Alma Gavoi, Vano Abroi, everybody else is inside, and I'm sitting on the outside. Is that right? So they brought him in, so they invited him inside, the Kurivale Rifta, and they served him food. But they're having him sit separately from everybody else.
Because it's a woman.
No, he didn't appear like a woman, just appeared like a poor person, but whatever. They have their table where they're eating their soda, and they seated him separately. Omalei, but again, the Sutton says, in his disguise as a poor person, Yoima Ha'idna, Yoima Ki Ha'idna, such an important day like today, Kula Alma Ataka Vanola Chodoi, everybody else is sitting around the table and you're sitting me by myself. Okay, I see you, I Oisvu Ataka. So they brought him and sat him by the table. Have a Yosef. So now, the Sutton in the disguise of a poor person is sitting over there. He was filling himself with sores and boils. In other words, the Sutton, being after all a malach, he's able to, all of a sudden, he's causing boils and things like that to break out all over his body. And he's doing disgusting things with them. Like he's picking at the sores right there by the table in front of everybody. So they told him, Tiv Shaku, sit nicely, don't act in a way that's going to disgust us here by the table. Omrulay, so the Sutton doesn't even react to that. He says, Hovali Kosa, give me a cup of something to drink. Yavale Kosa, so they gave him a cup. Ichmar, the Sutton, still in this disguise of a poor person, coughed up, Shodebe Kichoy, and he spit phlegm into the cup, like really nauseating everybody there by the table. Nohrube, so they yelled at him, come on already, you know, have a little mention fight. Shoka Umis, the Sutton at that point pretended to have died. He pretended like he was so shocked by them yelling at him that he pretended like he fell over and died. Shamu Dahava Ka'amri, then the people in the household hear, so hear voices from outside, Plima Koto Gabra, Plima Koto Gabra, that Plima has killed somebody. Now Rashi says they didn't actually, they weren't actually hearing it. They were hearing things. This was all part of the Satan's tricks over there that he's causing them to hear things. Like this, they start hearing as though there were voices coming from outside saying that Plima killed somebody. Really, this is all the Satan basically doing that, almost like ventriloquism, yeah. So Plima was afraid. So Plima ran away and hid himself in the bathroom. Ozo Basre and the Sutton followed him over there. Nofo Kame, and he falls down, and he falls down in front of Plima and pretends again like he's dead. Ki dechazia to have him at star, then he saw that Plima is feeling very bad over here. Marsha explains that Plima thought, I don't know what's going on over here. Is this maybe a different person? Maybe now I'm responsible for two people dying? Is it maybe first I thought he was dead, and now he followed me, and now he died, so Plima didn't know what's going on over here. So when the Sutton saw how bad Plima is feeling, Galilei Nafshi, then he revealed himself to him and said, you should know, I'm not Stam, a poor person, I'm the Sutton. And he said, Amalei, and the Sultan tells him, my time, Amritachi. Why were you saying this, gear of the inner to Sultan? Why are you cursing me all the time? So Plima answers, Elahechi Ema, so what should I say? So the Sultan tells him, Amalei, Lemaman, Rachmanan Nigar Beba Sultan. You should say, Hashem should rebuke the Sultan, which we find in the Lashon HaPasuk, where the Novi, the Malach says to Hashem, the Malach says, Yigar, in Zechariah's Nevuah, Yigar Hashem B'chah Sultan. Hashem should rebuke you, Sultan, and not allow you to, and in that case, over there, who's going and being captured again, Yeshua Kohen Gadol. So, we have an Aftorah of Baha'loischan, the first Shabbos of Hanukkah, Yeshua Kohen Gadol was the first Kohen Gadol of the second Beis Mikdash. Right. We find that his sons were among the ones who married women they weren't supposed to. That's mentioned in Sefer Ezra, and he didn't rebuke them for it. So therefore, so the Sutton is now being mekatered on him, and now the Eibishta says to the Sutton, you got Hashem b'chah Sutton. Hashem is rebuking you, Sutton, and telling you don't go accusing Yeshua. But I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to give him a chance for him and his children to do tshuva. The point is, in other words, now the Sutton says the same thing to Plimo. Don't say an arrow in the eye of Sutton as though it's all with my own kochus. Rather, appeal to Hashem's help, because realize again that in Molei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, in Ezra Eloi, without the Eibishter's help, you're not going to be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara, which who's Sutton, who Yetzer Hara. So therefore, that would be the expression to say. So in other words, it's not a matter of, and also Marashal says this way, you're not cursing the Sutton, you're just telling him, like in the Lashon HaPasuk, Hashem should rebuke you and tell you don't do this, go bother somebody else. Okay, another story involving one of the Chachamim and Yetzirah. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi have a rogo called Idin to have a nafal la'ape. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi regularly, whenever he would do Nefilas HaPayim, now Nefilas HaPayim, so we have, we say a standard thing. We say Racham Bochanan, we say Tepetor Chavhei of Tillin. But in those times, it was much more common when a person was doing Nefilas HaPayim, he would say maybe he would say those, but he would also say his own personal Tfilas at the time. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, when he was doing the Nefilas HaPayim, have Omer Rachman Yetzirenu Miyetzahara. He would say, "May Hashem save us from the Yetzirah." Now, of course, Marsha points out, you know, Akol B'Dei Shemayim, Chutz V'Yiras Shemayim, but nevertheless, a person is entitled to ask for Siyata D'Shemaya. Like we said, Hashem has to help a person. Well, Yom Echad Shmatinu Dvesu. One day, his wife overheard what he was saying. Omer, she starts thinking to herself, Mechdi, let's consider, Hokama Shani Deporish Leminai, it's many years already that he's separated from me and is not having relations with me because he's old. So at this point, he's so old, what does he have to be afraid of the Yetzirah anymore? Oh, my time, Hokama Hachi, why is he still asking Hashem to save him from the Yetzirah? What Yetzirah? So she decided to test him and see whether, in fact, he still has such a Yetzir. Yom Echad have a Kegoris Beginsay. So one day, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi was sitting in his garden and learning Torah. Kishta Nafsha. She beautified herself with cosmetics and jewelry and whatever, and perfume. Both of a Tanya Kameh, and she started walking back and forth in front of him. And he apparently didn't recognize her. Omer Laman At, he says, who are you? Omra, so she pretends, she says, Anoch Harusa da Hadri Mi Yoima. I am Harusa, which is actually says the name of a famous Zoyna in the city. I've just gotten back from a trip. The Aruch has a bit of a different Gersa, not Harusa, but Chedvosa, which means like the joyful one, like in other words, the friendly, joyful one, the one that I'd be happy to commit zinus. Anyway, so he propositioned her to commit zinus with her, not knowing that it's his own wife. Omrele, but she says, first, if you want to do that, I see ni ali lahanach rumin adureish tzitzisa. First go pick me that fruit at the top of the branch. So Rashi describes, in other words, you have a palm tree, which, like we said before, a palm tree is very tall and hard to climb. So I want you to go. I want you to climb up that palm tree and bring me down the top branch or the top fruit. And then I'm willing to do whatever you say. Shavar, he jumped up, also, and he climbed up, also, I see ni ala, and he brought it for her. So sure enough, then she was willing to go along with the charade, and they ended up having relations. He also the baser. Then when he came home, and he felt very bad about what he had done, as far as he knew, he had committed znus. His wife was firing up the oven to cook some food. He went up and went into the oven. Like he was ready to kill himself for the fact that he felt he figured he had done a terrible aveda. And there are other explanations and say that why would he do that? One interesting explanation is maybe at the time she was a nida, in that case there's an issur koris. So fine, if it was just a matter of a zonah, which is an issur lav, he wouldn't do that. But in this case, he was concerned she was a nida, and then there's an issur koris involved. And then there are various other explanations. Ben Yehoyada says that it wasn't necessarily actually like Rashi says trying to kill himself. He just wanted to give himself yisurim, like his feet will be burned. He explains he was going to kind of do it like midah keneg midah, like shuvas hamishkal. He used his feet to climb up the tree over there, so therefore he's going to burn his feet. So Omer Lei my high. So his wife says, "What are you doing?" Omer Lahochi v'hochi avamai. So he tells her the whole story. Omer Lei ano havoy. She tells him that was me. That wasn't a zoyna. Loy Ashkach, though, he wasn't paying any attention to her. Yeah, he was saying it was you, sure. Ad the Yavale Simonim, so she gave him actual Simonim to demonstrate that it really was. Amaloi says, I'm no meal, these Surah Ikavi. That may be, but nevertheless, I had in mind to do an Isser, and therefore I need Kapara for that. But Kol Yomok Shalois at Tzadik, Kol Yomisane, so throughout the rest of the life of that Tzadik, he was fasting and doing Truva, eventually he passed away from that death, meaning in other words he fasted so much that eventually he weakened and passed away. Well, Ben Yehoyada says it means that he never recovered from like this, he burnt his feet, like we said, going into the oven. He never recovered from that until he actually passed away. Yeah. And the Gemara says, Ditanya, as in fact he had a point, as we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in Nazir, when the Pasuk says about a woman and her Nadorim, Isha Hafeira Mashem Yisvachla, the Pasuk describes that her husband has cancelled her Nadorim and Hashem will forgive her. Mamar Kasimadaba, what is the Pasuk talking about? Why should Hashem have to forgive her? The Isha Shinodrim and Nazir, imagine you have a woman has made a Neder of Nazirus, the Shama Baila Behaferla, her husband hears the Neder and is mefer to her, as we learned in Masech the Nadorim. The Hila Yoda Shahefa Labaila, she doesn't know that her husband was made for the nether, but it's a shirtsi yayin and matamala mason. She's drinking wine and becoming tummy mess. So therefore, so she thinks she's doing wrong, even though objectively she's not, because her husband was already made for the nether, and the Pasuk is saying, Hashem Yislach La, Hashem will have to forgive her for that, because she needs kapara. So in this connection, Rabbi Akiva, ki have a motila, hai psuka, have a bachi. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this Pasuk in his learning, he would cry. Omar, he would say, well, then consider a kavachomer. If you have somebody attended to chazir flesh, and instead Hashem arranged that he ended up picking up a piece of kosher meat, of sheep meat, Omra Torah Tzricha Kaporo Slicha, and yet the Pasuk is saying over here that she needs Kaporo Slicha, because we're saying Hashem Yislachla, so she thought she was doing something also, and it turns out she's doing something mutter, and still Hashem Yislachla. So then a person who intended to eat chazir flesh and actually ended up eating it, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that he needs a kapara. Similarly, kayotz v'dover ata omer. You have a similar, you have a similar kind of thing that you find when the pasuk says regarding an oshem tolui, the lo yada v'oshem v'nasa avonia. A person doesn't know that he committed a certain isser. He doesn't know whether he committed a certain isser, and he's guilty, and he bears his guilt, and he has to bring an oshem tolui. The classic case being where a person has a piece of, he doesn't know whether a particular piece is shruman, which is mutter, or chelev, which is osir, and he eats it, and now he's not sure what it was, so he has to bring a korban. So the same thing. Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk. A person intended to eat shuman, and he ended up picking a piece of chelev. And still the Torah is saying, even though he didn't know, he's guilty and he bears his sin, he has to bring a korban. How much more so somebody who intended to eat chelev and actually ended up eating the actual chelev? Marsha points out in the first one with the Aforas Nedarim, he's referring to Chazir versus Tle. Here he's referring to Shuman, and and Chela, because the fact is that an Oshem Tolu comes only for things that are Chayiv Krisis, so there's an Chayiv Koris, which would be Chela. Eating Chazir flesh is not Chayiv Koris, therefore they can't bring that example of Chazir versus Tle in connection with an Oshem Tolu, because it wouldn't work Lalos. There's a lot. Of course, it gets Malchus for it, but not Chorus. Anyway, Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, and Isi Ben Yehuda says, here's something else. When the Pasuk says, V'lo yoda v'oshim v'nasa avonai, the Pasuk is saying he doesn't know, but he's still guilty, and there's his guilt. So that means, Al Dovazir Yidvu Kol Adovim, everybody who feels bad about such things should feel, everybody who has a heart to feel bad about such things, says Rashi, should feel bad about it, but here you have a person didn't even mean to do an Aveda, and yet Hashem holds him guilty for that. There's a famous word that's brought. Tosfos brings it in Nazir. The word Yidvu itself stands for, there's the words in this pasuk, Yoda V'oshem V'nasa. That is why he uses this expression, Yidvu Kol Adovim, that everybody who has a heart, everybody who has the understanding to realize the consequences of an Aveda should realize from this pasuk, from the Lashon HaPasuk, to feel bad about that, and to realize that even an inadvertent Aveda requires some kind of kapar. The Gemara continues. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Misyachad Adam in Imai, a man is allowed to be in Yichud with his mother or with his daughter. So let's talk about that. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi, Misyachad Adam Imachoisai, a man is allowed to be in Yichud occasionally with his sister. As we talked about yesterday, they can't live together with Kvius, but they can be an occasional Yichud together. We talked about yesterday some of the dinim about how long it can be. Up to 30 days. We talked about yesterday something that Moshe says it's not really a fixed amount of 30 days. It depends whether the living arrangements are the kviyos or not. The darim ima v'invita, and a man is allowed to live even the kviyos with his mother or with his daughter. Because again, there's no issue of yichud with such close relatives because a person doesn't have such a yetzahara for them. Ki omra kameh de Shmuel. So when Rabbi Huda told this over to Shmuel, Omar, Shmuel says, no, also this Yachidim call on Ayas Ratoda, Vafilu in Behema. No, you're not allowed to be in Yichud with any Erva in the Torah, even a mother or daughter or whatever. Now, it may only be Dirabbanan, fine. We learned yesterday that there's a pasuk in the Torah that implies that a man is allowed to be in Yichud with his mother, but he's saying at least Dirabbanan, it should be also Vafilu in Behema, even with a Behema, because you have the concern of bestiality over there, which we'll talk about more about that in the Gemara tomorrow. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Tanan, we said in the Mishnah, Misyachad Adamim Imim V'invitei, V'yoshin Imam V'kiru Vosser, we said even a man is allowed to, a young boy is allowed to sleep with his mother's skin-to-skin contact, a father with his daughter, and then they're allowed to be in Yichud, or Tiyufti to Shmuel, so isn't that a contradiction on Shmuel? The answer is, Amalach Shmuel, V'litai Meich, knew according to your Svara that you're even asking the question, Chodetanya Achosev Achamoseh Sharkol Arayas Shematoda En Misyach Nimam Ela Be'edim. You have a Braisa that says that a person's sister or his mother-in-law or any other Erva or any other Arayas in the Torah, he can be in with Yichud with them only with Edim, where there's no Yichud. Be'edim Ein Shaloi Be'edim Loi, which means only if there's Edim, not if there's no Edim. Ela Tanoi. Obviously, there must be a machlokas tanoim whether a person is allowed to be in yichud with his close relatives or not. So I hold like the opinion that not. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, Omer Rav Meir, he zohar ubi mipnei biti. Reb Meir would tell his Talmidim, be careful around me with my daughter. Don't allow that if I'm with my daughter alone in one house, that we should be in Yichud. Make sure that some of you stay here. That was, Ben Yehoyada said, that was after the story on Amud Aleph, where the mayor was almost nichshol in Avera, because the sultan tried to trick him. So now, from now on, he wants to take the extra, he wants to show his talmidim to go the extra mile, even where technically it would be mutter, to be careful about that. And again, this way it stresses to people that even great tzaddikim have a yetzahara, and they shouldn't think, well, I don't have such a yetzahara. Similarly, Omer of Tyfin, he's daughter with Mepekalos. Similarly, Reb Tyfin would tell the members of his household, be careful with me around my daughter-in-law. Again, don't allow us to be in Yichud. Liglagal of Oise Talmud, a certain Talmud of Reb Tarfin, made fun of that. If you really think there's going to be something between you and your daughter-in-law. Omer Abba-Boh, Mishrim Reb Chanin Ben Gamliel, Lo Hoyu, Yomim U'otim, Anshin Nichshol, Oise Talmud, B'cham Oise. Not very long happened before that Talmud ended up being Nichshol with his mother-in-law, so he thought, yeah, a person doesn't have a type of such things, but the Eibishter that brought it about circumstances where he ended up being Mizana to show that nobody is immune to such Yetzaharas. So now we said afilu in behema. We said Shmuel had said you're not even allowed to be in yichud with an animal. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Abaya machlole mikula dabra. Abaya would machlole from the whole city. So Rashi says two explanations. One is when Abaya himself would go out to the fields to learn, to sit and learn Torah like this. He wants to sit by himself to be able to review his learning without distractions. He would make sure there were no animals in the entire field. Now, Tosfos points out this and the next things we're saying over here are not actually required al pi halacha. We're going to learn tomorrow, lo nechsha b'Yisrael, on Mishkav Zohar, v'ala behema, your average Jew is not suspected of doing such things. Regular arayas, yes, but not zchor and not behema. But here, Rabbaya wanted to be extra machna himself. So that's Rashi's first explanation, is he would make sure there are no animals in the field when he's sitting there. Rashi's second explanation is that he would tell shepherds, you shouldn't be alone with the animals in the field. If you're going to be there, you have to have multiple shepherds over there. Similarly, Rav Sheshis Mabrele Metzra, Rav Sheshis would have the animals be on the other side of the, would be on the other side of the field. So again, there's no Yichud. And similarly, Rav Chonin Min HaHadah, Ikra Lebeda, Rav Kahana LePumnara, Rav Chonin Min HaHadah one time visited Rav Kahana in the city of Pumnara, Chazid Yosef, he saw Rav Kahana is sitting, because Goras, and he's learning Torah, but kind of Behema Kamein, an animal standing in front of him. Omalei, so Rav Chonin says, Loi Savala, Filu in Behema, don't you agree with what we just said, you're not allowed to be in Yichud with an animal. Omalei, Labad Atoi, so he says, I didn't realize I was distracted with my learning. I was focused on my learning, and therefore I didn't realize. But if I had realized, then Taka, I wouldn't have done it. And the Gemara mentions another din as far as Yichud, another relevant din as far as Yichud, Omar Rava, Misyachad Adam Shtei Yevamos. A man is allowed to be in Yichud with two sisters-in-law, because as we learned in Yevamos, the two sisters-in-law don't like each other. Potentially they could end up becoming tzores, because if the husband of one of them dies, then the other one's gonna need Yivum, and then they could end up being tzores. So we learned, for example, over there that a Yevama is not believed to say that her Yevama's husband has died, because she might be trying to mess her up. So the same way over here, if he tries to be Mizana with one of them, then the other one is going to black. Being Shtei Tzores, similarly, he's allowed to be in Yichud with two Tzores, two men married to the same woman. In Isha V'chamoisa, also with a woman and her mother-in-law, same idea, because they don't like each other either, as we learned over there. In Isha Basvaila, also together with a woman and her stepdaughter. And also in Isha V'tinoikas Shiyadas Tambia V'nimaseres Atzmalbia. You're also allowed to be in Yichud, says Rava, with a woman and also a girl, where the girl is old enough to understand what bia is, to understand the taste of bia, how enjoyable it is, V'nimaseres Atzmalbia, but she doesn't give herself over to it yet because she's too young. So this is the concept we have. For example, occasionally you have a chuppas nida, you try to avoid it, but sometimes it happens. A couple gets married and the wife is nida, so then you have to have shomrim, where you have to have shomrim during the shavuot brachas, and they have you. The minhag is you have a boy stays together with the chassan and a girl together with the kala, and the girl is of this age where you das tambia, etc. You have other examples like that also, where you have a girl or a boy of that age in the house, when otherwise it would be a problem of Yichud, and it helps and it works as shomrim. What that age is, the general understanding among poskim is between approximately 5 and 9 years old. below five, they don't understand what's going on, and above nine already they themselves might be susceptible to being being talked into this. So that's pretty much it. So we're going to continue tomorrow in the next Mishnah. We're going to talk about the more dinim involving Yichud, but first the Gemara is going to digress, not really digress, but to talk about a little bit. We said in the Mishnah that at young ages, a mother was allowed to sleep in a bed with skin to skin contact with her young son, a father with his daughter. So we're going to deal with those dinim tomorrow, Bas Hashem, and then we'll continue with the dinim of Yichud. And Bas Hashem, tomorrow is the last daf of the Masechta, and actually the entire Seder Nushin.
Okay.